Chapter 24, in which Nori is a thief. Nori is a thief. He is a thief long before he is a wanted man, before they lose their mountain and their home. He is born with the skills to make him an excellent pickpocket, and blessed with anonymously homely features that leave him forgotten in an instant. He learned the trade at the knee of a skilled burglar and con man, but as a young man, he chooses his targets carefully. They have all they need on the mountain, and it is merely an intellectual exercise, a way to stir up the adrenaline that leaves his heart pumping and his mind singing in the wake of success. Their parents never know. Dori is a good man, and oughtn't to know about such things. Ori is a child. Nori lives free, as he chooses, and doesn't mind that he is soon a wanted man with a list of crimes as long as his arm, and that only a fraction of the things he has done. But when the mountain burns, they are all wanted men, even those who have done nothing wrong. Thorin is hunted from one end of the country to another for no reason other than wishing to keep his home, and Nori watches and fumes as they are gradually all transformed into criminals. He has to teach them what he knows if any of them are to survive, and some of them take to it better than others. He tries not to be proud when he sees the devious shape of Ori's mind, or the dexterity with which Beaver's hands take to picking locks and lifting wallets. He is not too proud to ply his trade, it must be said. He steals from any target he can find, now, because it is no longer a matter of professional pride or picking his marks with care. There are mouths to feed, and more, because the dangers are greater than most of the rest of them seem to acknowledge. Nori despises their innocence all the more because they are no longer allowed to be innocent. They cannot live with their innocence, but they have no idea where to begin to live in his world. Nori must make connections and pay protections on them in all their hideaways in major cities. He negotiates passage for them with the worst of the worst, and hides that knowledge from them all. Thorin looks on him with barely hidden scorn, and Nori lets it roll off his back like water. Better that he not know what he is being protected from. Dori asks him to hide it all when he is around Dori. Dori thinks he is a bad influence. Dori counsels him to be more careful, more circumspect, to choose his targets better, to let go and stop being so angry. Dori knows nothing of his anger, the way it burns in his throat and gut like acid, the way it makes his mind dance in tiny furious circles around the problem, looking for any way to help. His anger pushes him forward and forward when weariness and fear and sorrow would make him stop. He goes away and stays away from Ori, and his rage burns like fire on the mountain. It is a cunning flame, though, and he wields it like a tool. Thorin is made of incandescent rage, and Dwalin has a temper that will leave you flat in an instant, but Nori's fury is the stuff of ancient tales. He wants to steal from Smaug, but that is the one thing Thorin will not allow, no matter how often he presents his ideas. He keeps a file on Smaug's home, his office, his gym and car and favorite restaurants and clubs, and he is ready to move at an instant. Thorin will not see it done until he knows they will succeed.
I can't lose anyone else,
he tells Nori one evening, when he has had far too much to drink. Dis is dying, and they all know it, and Nori's blood boils when he thinks about it, because there is nothing he can steal to ward off death for even a moment.
Every time we go against him, we lose. I need you.
No one needs Ori, or they don't think they do, and that is to his liking. He drinks in silence with Thorin, and he is not touched by the sentiment, no matter what the drink may make him think. He lets Thorin have the last word, but keeps his files on Smaug current. Nori isn't like the rest of them, and he has always known it. He has no difficulty being on the run, and little more when they catch up with him every once in a while. He cools his heels in different cells over the years, finding favorites in most hated cells all over the length and breadth of Scotland. He never wanted to be an honest man. He did want to be a good thief. And these days, he knows he is not one. he corrupts the children. It must be done if they are going to survive, but it is the one crime he truly feels in his heart that he is guilty of, and it is a sin that will not wash clean. They are brilliant and good and decent young fellows, but his hands were the ones that taught them to break the laws, and his voice the one that twisted the insides of their heads until they can think like criminals and not even know they are doing it. Feely takes to cybercrime with such delight and pride, stealing more in a moment from miles away than Nori has ever managed to take in all his long years. Keely steals their hearts and heads, breaking his way past every barrier without tripping a single alarm, and then grins at them with such sunny innocence that Nori half doubts he knows what he is doing. It is Bilbo Baggins, oddly enough, who manages to steal something from Nori. It shouldn't be a surprise. Nori knows all along who his mother is. Every decent sneak thief or burglar knows of Belladonna Baggins. It goes against the code to share that information with outsiders, though, so Nori holds his tongue and lets Bilbo share what he will about his mother in his own time. With a mum like that, Nori thinks, of course he's a natural burglar, though Thorin doubts he could steal himself out of a wet paper bag when they first kidnap him. Nori keeps to the edges and watches him find himself. There's a professional detachment there, but it does not hold up. Bilbo, with his odd little face and curly hair and utter innocence, steals his way under all their walls. They become partners in crime when the sons of Durin are imprisoned, and Nori does his best to help plot their escape, but Bilbo walks them out on his own, and then saves them over and over again. He steals from Smaug himself, and makes off with Thorin's heart before their eyes, and he is still an honest man, and a good man. And Nori does not know how he has done it. When he goes to prison again, Nori paces his tiny cell every day, fury spinning his mind in tiny circles and churning in his gut. They never should have been here, none but him, at least, and it is enough injustice to feed his anger, sending it higher and hotter with every futile turn around the cell. He asks Bilbo to visit there after he has been there 2 months, and Bilbo comes the next weekend, bringing homemade biscuits. It is absurd. Nori tells Bilbo everything he can remember. Every theft and burglary, every window smashed and car stolen, every fraudulent bank transaction, and watches for the disgust to creep across his face. It doesn't come. Bilbo tilts his head to the side and looks at Nori with eyes too wise for his years. You know who my mother was, Bilbo says evenly. Do you really think any of this is a surprise? She raised me on far wilder tales every night of my life. Why are you telling me all of this now?
Someone should know,
Nori mutters. He stares at his hands.
When I get out, I'm going to leave. There's no place for me with honest folk. But someone ought to know what I've done.
You've missed the important bit, though, Bilbo tells him, more than a hint of amusement coming through. Tell me, Nori, why did you rob that church on Christmas Eve all those years ago?
Needed clothes for the lads, he says roughly. They were all in rags that year, and it wasn't right.
And why did you swindle the Iron Hills Motorbike Association out of their membership fees? He's definitely laughing at Nori now. But Nori will not look at him.
After Beaver got hurt, there wasn't money for what he needed,
Nori admits.
Beaver couldn't manage alone, so I snuck him the fees. Told him not to ask, and he never did.
He chances a glance up, and Bilbo is looking at him with such unexpected fondness that Nori melts just a little and lets a wicked smile creep up one side of his face.
Besides, Thorin's a bit of an arse, if you know what I mean. Decent fellow in a pinch, but you wouldn't want to know him personally.
Bilbo chuckles, and Nori meets his eyes. There is no condemnation there. You'll pay your debt to society, he says gently. Thranduil will see to that, and then you will come home, because they need you. They always have. Where would they be without you, Nori? When Bilbo leaves, Nori sits on his narrow bunk and looks at his hands that have stolen so much. He still doesn't regret most of it, and he can't see himself living as honest a life as the others would like. But something has changed, and it takes him a while to work it out. Nori is not angry anymore. Somehow, in talking to Bilbo, the little grocer has stolen away the furious heart of him and left him filled with an odd sort of peace. He is not an honest man, and he is not a free man, but Nori is no longer just a thief. "Suppose he's right," he says out loud, and there's no rage left in it. Where would they be without me?